You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, British Columbia. We strive to provide perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media. If you'd like to know more about us, check out our website at cjsf.ca.
Hello, 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 and welcome to CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus and community radio station here at Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, BC, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. My name is Nicole, and I'm back with Beats and Eats. I've been gone for a couple weeks in the sun, and as you know, every Thursday from 1 to 2, I do chat about food. I do share interviews and stories about food, security, and events happening in the Lower Mainland. Plus, I mix dope beats that I am loving over the course of the week. Today, I'm actually going to be sharing a couple of interviews that I recorded back in February and March. The first interview is one that I did with Amanda Goodman Lee, co-founder of Honeybee Zen and Swan Valley Honey. And then the second interview I'm going to be sharing is the one that I did with Marlo Brown. But before we get into the interviews, I'm going to kick off the show with a short classic reggae mix, because I was in Barbados for a bit, and in Barbados, reggae is played a lot. As you know, if you've been listening to this show for a while, you know that I'm a Jamaican Canadian. I have spent a lot of time in Jamaica over the past few years, so reggae is definitely my thing. So it was lovely to hear it on the regular when I was out there. So we're going to hear a little bit of a classic reggae mix from Live Link Sounds to start the show.
Many did try, but couldn't steal my honey.
Many did try.
Many did try, but couldn't get in love. Some fool did try to trick her with his money. Turn around and wonder what she is made of. She just loved this groovy little thing we got going. She just loved this groovy little thing we got going. It will last as long as her heart's all beating. Many did try, but she would not leave me. Many did try to tell her lies about me. Sometimes the things they say, Lord knows, would hurt me. With a smile, she just ignored their silly tries. Yeah. She just loved this groovy little thing we got going. And it will last as long as her heart's all beating. The woman just loved.
It's like a blessing above, and it's bringing out the best in me.
clowns. Don't even if I know they are no threat to me. Lord, I thank you, thank you. You guided and you shouldered me. Lord, I thank you for all that you have done for me.
This is Nicole Hines with CJSF 90.1 FM. Today, I am chatting with Amanda Goodman-Lee, master beekeeper and co-founder of Honeybee Zen and Swan Valley Honey, located in Creston, BC. I actually met Amanda last month when I attended the CHFA Now show in Vancouver. And for those who don't know, CHFA Now is a trade show and conference dedicated to the natural health, organic, and wellness industry. And since I love creating Jamaican fusion recipes, especially with honey, actually, I stopped by Amanda's booth at the trade show and we had a chat. And fast forward 2 weeks later, here we are having a conversation on air. So I just want to thank you, Amanda, for joining me today. How are you?
I'm good. And thanks for having me. It's so nice to chat with you again.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was such a fun day. And for, you know, listeners, we are recording virtually, but we get to see each other. So that is a great thing. So I shared a little bit about the fact that you are a co-founder of, and you are pretty much like a master beekeeper. And I think that's so fascinating because I love honey. And I would love for you to share how you got connected to bees and started this journey of becoming a beekeeper.
Yeah. Okay. So I have the certificate that says I'm a master beekeeper, but I don't ever feel like I'm a master beekeeper because I'm always learning from the bees and there's so much to learn. So it's always sort of a funny thing to have that. And I think that, you know, when you talk to beekeepers who have been doing it for like 50, 60 years, they feel the same way, that we're always learning. So we are never really, we're practicing our craft all the time. So I'm not sure that I always feel like a master, but I got, but it's a funny thing. I think maybe that's the Zen part of our honeybee Zen, that we're always learning, and always improving our craft. But I got into beekeeping in a very funny way. Lots of people think it's always my husband that got us into it, but it was me. And I got into it, and actually it was hissing cockroaches that really got me into it, which is a totally different insect.
Right.
And it happened, oh gosh, about maybe, I think it was about maybe 15 years ago. Wow. And Science World had an exhibit called The Science of Fear. And at that time I was working for the Vancouver Sun and Province, and I was in marketing and advertising, and Science World was they were my client, mm-hmm. and they would have a media challenge. And so we'd get our teams from different media, radio, television, different community papers, our newspaper, and we'd go down and we'd compete. And one of them was picking up hissing cockroaches, putting them into a beaker. And
then Yikes.
Things to do. So then they had also going down on a Saturday, and you could do a beard of bees.
Okay.
And for those that don't know, a beard of bees is when they put the queen bee in a little cage and put it on like a necklace, and they tie her around your neck, and then you go into an observation booth, and then the beekeeper dumps thousands and thousands and thousands of bees onto this bristle board you're holding,
yeah,
and then crawl up and they want to be around the queen bee and me, of course. And so they crawl up and they form this beard.
Wow.
And I was just so calm and I found it really relaxing. And when they prepped us for the whole event and explained all the things that would happen when you went in, I was the last one to go. So I usually like to go first with it's something that I think, oh, I'm going to, like, I just want to get it done with.
Over and done with.
But I was the last. Yeah. And I was the last, and I was watching the other people and I was just super calm. And the beekeeper, John Jabot, who owned Honeybee Center, said, "You're so calm. You'd be an excellent beekeeper."
Aww.
And so when I came out of the booth, I told my husband about it and he said, "Oh, I have a couple books on it. I thought that would be fun to do in retirement." And we had a friend in the Okanagan who was a beekeeper. And so we thought, well, why wait? And so we took a course out at Kwantlen and we drove from downtown Vancouver every Monday night for, I think, 8 weeks through horrendous traffic to get to the course. And we took the course for 8 weeks and we started with 2 hives and then we went to 12 and then we went to 50. And then next thing you know, we were like, I don't know. It was crazy. We started pollinating and blueberries out in the Fraser Valley.
Wow.
And we still had our job. So we were sort of doing this on weekends. And it was something we loved doing together as a couple.
Yes.
And it was fun because we were both learning something new. And it was really great. And yeah, we never. And then in 2017, Swan Valley Honey was for sale, and I had left the newspaper a couple years before, and I had worked 2 years for UBC for one of the labs there as their field tech for bee research, which was a great opportunity.
Yeah.
And learned even more. And so I think sort of the fates played a hand in that, and just one thing happened after another, and it beekeeping and the business kind of found us, right? Like it was just meant to be.
It was literally meant to be. I love that. And I love how you segued into my next question, because I was going to ask about now the entrepreneurial side of things. You've done a lot of things in your life, myself included. Yes, we are chatting here today, but I'm also an entrepreneur on the side as well. So I love to ask, from fellow entrepreneur to the next, what has the journey been like, especially in this landscape around bees? You know, what has it been like?
Well, one of the things that when my former life, I would work with lots of small businesses, and I think that I just used to love to dig into their businesses and find out like all about it. So when we took over Swan Valley Honey, we had one product and that was honey, just honey, just the regular wildflower honey, which was delicious and wonderful from the Creston Valley here. And since that time we grew. The hard thing about being a honey producer like us is that it's very rare for us to be the honey producer and also have bees. And you're working with Mother Nature. So you're so dependent on weather, you're dependent on winter survival of your bees, and you are so attached to your livestock. As honeybees are livestock.
Right.
We keep them in boxes and so we're responsible for them. And beekeepers, we have a real love for our bees.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a different thing because people don't see them as livestock and they don't see how important they are to the agriculture industry.
Right.
Where you have poultry, you have eggs, the dairy industry, beef, even like vegetables, they all have like these big marketing campaigns around them,
of course.
Maybe to livestock, to apples to apples, but they don't, people don't see that honeybees are important, even though they pollinate 1/3 of our food source.
Wow.
Everybody eats fruits and vegetables,
of course,
like no matter if you're a pescatarian, vegetarian, vegan.
True.
Everybody eats fruits and vegetables.
Facts.
So we need the bees for that. And if you saw like 12 cows dead in a field, you would be like, oh my god, what's happening?
Or
when avian flu came in, oh my god, what's happening?
Right.
But with honeybees, you don't have that same what's happening when beekeepers, like last year in 2024, were really struggling coming out of winter with high losses of bees.
Right.
So that's on that side, it's really hard, and it's also really heartbreaking because you, like, in no industry that I know of, do you have like 80% loss of your livestock.
No.
You pull up your socks and you get back to work again.
Right.
And the consumer expects honey prices to be low because of the honey that's imported that is predominantly blended or mixed. And so it's hard, right? And
yeah.
it's not as good as our Canadian honey, whether it's from British Columbia mm-hmm. or it's, you know, from all the way across to Newfoundland, right?
Right, right.
Our Canadian honey is the best. So amazing that in Japan, it has like top shelf status.
Wow.
In Japan. Yeah. The Japanese recognize Canadian honey as the best honey in the world. So it's pretty amazing, right?
Yes, yes.
So we need to recognize in our own country, we have this amazing product.
Absolutely. 100%. And this is such a great segue into the next question, because as Canadians, we do need to know that we have the best, you know, honey in Canada. And so my question to you is, like, what has been your proudest moment as an entrepreneur, you know, in this landscape, right? It could be moments. It doesn't have to be one specific.
I think Jeff would agree. We went down to Kentucky and we went to New Orleans and we entered in the North American Honey Contest.
Okay.
And we walked away with top honors. We walked away with Best in Show, Best Honey in North America.
Okay.
And for our creamed honey.
Oh.
And it was so amazing because our creaming machine is made in Canada. It's very unique. And the judge, he said that it was perfect. We got a perfect score.
Wow.
A second judge came along and said, like, you gave them a perfect score. It's very hard to get perfect in creamed honey because it has to be smooth like butter. You can't have any granulation in it at all. So it has to be smooth like butter. It has to be soft. It can't be hard.
Right.
It has to be like a real soft set so you can get your spoon or your knife into it and it still like can run off the spoon, but it's not like liquid honey.
Right.
And so the second judge, he judged it and he's like, you're right. And the judge loved it so much, he ended up buying the machine himself.
Oh my goodness.
He called me a few times to ask for some tips and tricks. And so that's really telling, because that beekeeper, that judge,
yes,
has been judging for like, you know, 30 years.
Wow.
And for him to give us those accolades. And then at the banquet, they take that honey and they auction it off. And that 500 gram jar of honey sold for $650 US.
And
not just one jar, but six jars. And it was like six jars, $650 US each jar. So that was huge.
Oh, wow.
And I think that we felt like we were living in a dream. And then we came back and were interviewed on the radio on CBC and it crashed our website. We didn't know, right? And then people say, oh, you have to be prepared for these things, but you don't prepare. And
no.
The funniest thing about it is we almost didn't enter because our honey was so jostled and everything, trains, planes, and automobiles to get to the to the conference and to the contest,
yes,
that it had been like really jumbled. So we had it in our bathtub settling. We were, and then Jeff said, oh, we shouldn't enter. This is bad. And I said, well, we brought it this far. Like,
you might as well.
We've cleaned it.
Yes.
And I have this magic cloth and they judge you even on the condition of your glass. And
wow.
I shined it up so much. They thought I sandblasted the glass because with my magic cloth from my mother. So, so yeah, I think that like was really the proudest. So just that we were the first Canadians to win. And I never thought in the US that they would ever allow a Canadian to win.
Like, yes. Yeah,
know, right? It's yes. all anonymous, blind, but yes. I don't know. You know, you think, well, would they really?
Right. But
they were and the thing too is they were so welcoming, and the people that always win first, second every year, back and forth, were super happy for us and came Aww. Up and said, well, if we're going to lose, at least the person got 100% and
love
congratulations.
It.
So that was really nice. It was really great. And it just felt really good.
I love that. And yeah. congratulations to you. I love the fact that it was for the Creamed Honey, because when I was at the CHFA Now show, you graciously gave me some samples that I am going to use in a recipe upcoming. So stay tuned, guys. And what I got was the honey ginger. I got the hot honey, and then I got the creamed honey. So it's so great that I ended up getting the creamed honey as well. So my question to you, and if you wouldn't mind sharing with the listeners, I've been on your website. You have a lot of products, but there's more than what I've just referenced, right? So do you want to talk a little bit about some of the products that you carry?
Sure. So we have our pure honey line, which pure means I haven't infused it with anything. So we have our Kootenai wildflower. We have our fireweed, which we take yes. our hives up to the mountaintop where there was a forest fire, and it's wow. the first vegetation that grows. Really delicate, unique. They call it the champagne of honeys. It's Ooh. So beautiful. It's so good. I love that honey.
Nice.
And we have our late season honey, which I've called Harvest Moon, which is also a wildflower. And we have 1,000 Blossoms, which is a honey that it changes all the time, because it's sometimes like it's whatever the honey is that's different from the Kootenai wildflower. So the Kootenai wildflower is from the valley, but every once in a while there's a yard that the forage is different in, and it's really unique. So we'll bottle it under the 1,000 Blossoms. So one of them was nice. A mountain wildflower. And it was so good. And so we'll bottle it under 1,000 Blossoms. Or our honey from our home hives here, we have linden trees and we have raspberries. So that honey will taste different
right.
than down in the valley, because we're a little bit higher than the valley where we live. So we have those lines. So try the pure. And then there are creamed honey.
Of course.
So just pure raw honey. Then we have our infusion lines, and that's
yes.
the lines that I like to have fun with.
Yes.
Because, I get to experiment and try all different kinds of things. So they have something where I've added, and I'm really super picky that it's all natural ingredients in it. The only one that has a flavoring is the eggnog at Christmas time that we have, because I haven't figured out how to do it with ingredients, but... So we play around, and we grow lavender on our farm here. So I'll soak the honey and lavender buds, dried buds,
nice.
To infuse the flavor in it, which is different than lavender honey that if you buy in France, in Provence, because the bees are foraging on the lavender.
Oh,
and I'm okay. soaking the lavender. So there's a difference between lavender honey if you buy it and lavender infused.
Got it.
And
they
taste different. And lavender honey does not taste like infused lavender. It's
okay.
really different. And if you ever get a chance to get some, buy some. It's really beautiful.
I will.
Really good. My brother brought some. So I feel, honey connoisseur here.
Yes, 100%.
Then we've got our lemon, and then the ginger. That's our newest one. And the ginger's growing here in the Creston Valley in one of the organic farms. And so we've infused it with our ginger, and that's been, I don't know, I just like that one off the spoon. And that's been really helpful for people this cold and flu season.
Absolutely. I was going to, 100%.
And unbeknownst to me, like I get emails and people have been posting on Instagram their success with it. So
yes.
I can't say it happens 100%, because I can't write like, oh, this will cure,
well,
but...
True. You and know. I can say as a consumer, I've grown up to know that honey is helpful for when you are coming down with anything. And then, of course, being a Jamaican Canadian, I've always known that ginger is also effective when it comes to that. So now here you have both in the set. You know what I mean? It's like you've brought them right. together. So I know there might not be all of the, you know, studies, all of that, but it makes sense to me is what I'm trying to say. Like it makes right. sense to like, me that that works.
Like food is your medicine.
It is. It is.
Yeah, and it is. And you think like upset stomach, you have the spoonful, just even honey if you have an upset stomach.
True.
Sore throat. Pharmacists are prescribing honey for sore throats
absolutely.
Coughs, which is really interesting mm-hmm. instead of, and especially for children too. It's really helpful for sore throats. And mm-hmm. honey also is nature's
it is.
Not anti
bacterial, is it?
Yeah, antibacterial. So if you have a cut or as you could put it on, and veterinarians yep. use it on animals. Mm-hmm. So it's such an amazing, powerful food. And outside of North America, people know that.
It's
and
true.
They value honey and they see it as honey. And there's many, many religions who use honey in ceremonies. Mm-hmm. So I think when I speak with people about honey that aren't from North America, they really get it. Like
yeah,
they're from Jamaica.
Yeah, you get it. Trust me. Yeah. You know how many beekeepers I've met?
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. And so we have those. And then we have our hot honey. And I just made a delicious dressing to put over. I do like those sheet pan cooking because it's easy peasy. And I drizzled I just mixed Dijon mustard with the hot honey.
Yes.
Just drizzled it over top of the vegetables. Yes. And
top tier. Yeah, here, right? Absolutely, absolutely.
Like, your family will love it, or your partner will be like, "Ooh, what did you do?"
100%.
Super easy to do things.
So my next question is: we talked about some of the products, and I would love to talk a little bit about some of the services that you offer, because I noticed that there's even like an education class that you know some people can register for. So could you talk a little bit about some of the services that you offer as well?
Right. So last weekend we taught our beginning beekeeping class. So we teach for 3 days. So we do 2 days that are full days of classroom, and it's like drinking from a fire hose from A to Z. You learn all about things, and I think our students leave and their heads are ready to explode. And then we do a field day in May, and that's when all the elements come together. Right. And one of the things we do when our students take our course is that we become their lifelong mentors. So
of course,
if they take our course, then we're always a text away and we help them all the way through. So we've had some of our students be with us. Well, they become friends over mm-hmm. time, of course, and mm-hmm. part of our beekeeping community, because that's one of the things that is really important is we're creating community yeah. through beekeepers. So
yeah.
that's one of our pillars is education, and we want people to be successful in beekeeping, which is mostly you think, oh, well, isn't that competitive for you that you're teaching them how to make their own honey? Mm-hmm. But it's a skill and it's hard. So
yes.
people need help. And so that's great. And we've got really great friendships through that. So mm-hmm. that's wonderful. And this class was really great. This is the class that we had the most people come from far away. We had people come from Fort McLeod, from Canmore, from Christina Lake. We had people come from all over. So we didn't have very many people from Creston this time, which was really interesting to me. So that was really cool. And and we hardly advertised at all. It was word of mouth. So word of mouth still works.
It does.
That was really great. A wonderful class, and we always have such a good time, and I think we do it out of the love of teaching mm-hmm. more than anything. And we give talks, and we go to garden clubs, and we go and we have the school kids come for their field days, kindergarten, grade 1 and 2, and we play games and we make candles and we do different things like that. And that's usually the last week of May, first week of June. And then we do like Day of the Honeybee in May, which is I think May 20th down at the farmers markets. We'll have that, and we have observation hives. So we're real big advocates for our industry and for beekeepers. And I talk about honey and how much I love it, and that is our business, mm-hmm. but the bees come first, and the real passion around it is the bees. And